With so many forces investing in war and conflict, it does seem important to invest in the work of Wilf towards economic and environmental justice and strategies that move us towards peace. Cindy Domingo, co-chair of the Cuba and Bolivarian Alliance Committee, is with us for an announcement about Cuba resolutions. Cindy, your mic is on.
First, I want to say something about Cuba, and then second of all, I want to make some comments about what's happening in Latin America, and in particular in Bolivia. Those are the latest developments that I think are very important for people to take action and to be aware about. So the first thing around Cuba, one of the ways that we can educate and mobilize people around the impact of the almost 60-year-old blockade is to have cities and unions pass resolutions to lift the U.S. blockade against Cuba. Last week, 187 nations voted on the Cuba resolution in the United Nations to lift the blockade, saying it was inhumane and illegal according to international law. Only 50 nations voted against it, the United States and Israel, and this year, Brazil, led by the president, voted with the United States and Israel against the lifting of the blockade. Over the last year, the Trump administration has continued to harshen the U.S. blockade and to shut down the diplomatic relations that Obama so opened up in 2016. And this has included harshening the economic side of the blockade, further restricting third countries from trade, this allowing, again, the World Bank and the IMF to loan Cuba any money, as well as curbing our right to travel to Cuba freely. In June of this year, they curtailed the ability for cruise ships to use the people-to-people license to travel to Cuba, which had resulted in 800,000 since Obama lifted that part of the travel blockade. And now, recently, all commercial airlines in December will not be allowed to fly into Cuba, only into Havana. And that creates not only tourists, but also for Cubans who are traveling to visit their family in other parts of the country. It creates a big hardship for them because they'll have to travel from Havana. So one of the ways, as I said, is to be able to pass resolutions and educate people about the impact of the blockade as you're trying to pass those resolutions before your city councils, state legislatures, and even unions and even organizations to show that support for lifting the blockade. Already 13 cities, including my city in Seattle, have passed resolutions by their city council with the blockade. And we can post some of the resolutions on the Wilf website under our Cuba and the Bolivarian Alliance website on there. But you can also write to me at cindydomingo@gmail.com to get copies of resolutions and for any help you may need in writing them. And as I said, there have been labor resolutions as well as city council resolutions. So, Mary Beth, do you want me to go ahead and talk about Latin America and Bolivia?
Yes,
or do you want to? Okay. So, over the last two decades, the rise of the pink tide and left governments in Latin America have been a huge thorn in the side of U.S. imperialism and their ability to implement a neoliberal and extractivism policy towards Latin American countries that were under left presidents. but more recently, as we've seen throughout the world, the rise of the right wing and revolt of middle class people in various countries in Latin America, people thought that the pink tide and the struggle against neoliberalism and the construction of alternatives to capitalism was dying, and that finally U.S. imperialism was going to be able to continue their neoliberal policies and extract the vast resources that happen that are in those countries. So, for example, Venezuela with the oil and the attempts for regime change in Venezuela and the other countries. But what we've seen in the last month, which was because many of us don't really know what's happening at the base level in the mass movement in those countries, what we've seen in the last month was a resurrection of those mass movements against neoliberal policies, including the election of a more progressive government in Argentina, the mass mobilizations in Chile against austerity measures, which was not just about the rise in transit fares, but a number of neoliberal policies that the conservative government has been implementing since the election of a more conservative government there. The release of Lula a couple weeks ago in Brazil was, while it was a Supreme Court decision that resulted in his release, it was also a result of not only the millions of people that rose up worldwide and in Brazil to organize and denounce the government for his imprisonment. And he lost no time in denouncing the right-wing government of Bolsonaro and continues to speak out. So it was really a victory for us all who have been organizing for his release. However, the resignation last week of Evo Morales after the Bolivian elections is quite worrisome and has all the markings of a military coup. Morales, who has been president since 2006 and was the first indigenous president of Bolivia and in Latin America, is currently in exile in Mexico at the grace of President Obrera, along with others in his administration and Congress members, including his vice president. And the coup follows charges of a corrupt election, which has been disputed by both sides, as well as violence against Morales' cabinet members and elected officials who have been his supporters. Morales resigned, calling for calm and hoping to avoid further violence in the country by right-wing groups and the military, and actually called for new elections in the hopes that it would cure the military coup. Today, the self-proclaimed interim president, Jeanine Añez, declared that Morales could not run in new elections. And according to law, Bolivian law, it's the Bolivian Senate that's the body that is supposed to be the body that accepts Morales' resignation and to map out a new path if there are to be new elections. However, just like the attempt for a regime change in Venezuela, the president, the interim president, is self-proclaimed and is supported by right-wing groups as well as right-wing Christian groups in Bolivia. And we all know that Morales and his party, the Movement for Socialism, MAS, has not been a friend of the United States and has been a big thorn in the side of U.S. imperialism since his election in 2006. He focused, Bolivia holds great resources, including some of the largest deposits of natural gas that were nationalized. And as a result of that nationalization, the profits from that nationalization reduced poverty by 30% in that country and extreme poverty by 60%. And Morales had already announced that in the next year he was restructuring the lithium industry, which is key to electric cars and cell phones. And Bolivia holds one of the largest deposits of lithium and was also going to nationalize those for the benefit of the people who a large percentage are indigenous people. What we don't hear about is how the indigenous people and working class are mobilizing still in support of Morales, again, our United States media, corporate control media, only covers certain parts. So WILF is working with our international sisters and sections to issue a statement. It will go out in an e-alert, hopefully this weekend or in the next few days. And it will have ways in which, in particular, we in the United States also can lobby our Congress for a non-intervention position to call for peace and nonviolence, and to also call for new elections without the interference of the United States or other governments in right wing, and a return for Morales to participate in those elections. So, and I think it's good to look for alternative media coverage to read about. There's the Popular Resistance. Democracy Now! Is always a great place to look, and Venezuela Analysis. But look for other news resources to educate yourself. Okay.
Thanks, Cindy. Mm-hmm. Your committee has been really busy monitoring Cuba and Venezuela, the Philippines, Brazil, and now Bolivia. There's certainly a lot of instability being created in these nations in the global south, and it's good that our section is going to be signing on to that statement. Right now, we thanks a lot, and keep up the good work. I hope things slow down a little, or that you get a lot more people on your committee, because there's a growing amount of work to do.
Yes.
Cindy's email is on the text pad. If you're interested in joining your committee or learning more about anything that she talked about, you can contact her.